sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. The word of God impart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Good to see each one of you.
Amen.
And, no. I got to get... We come up with new headsets and new headgear, and it don't fit everybody. I got, talking to Brother Isaac, and he has his favorite bar of soap. I got some of it, and I told him, I said, my bar won't last as long as yours because I got more surface area. So I got a little more surface area to cover. I'm trying not to pull this thing out, but it felt like it's trying to pull off my ear. So I got it in my back pocket. I think that may work. I don't know. So yeah, there you go. It'll work. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. One of these days we won't have to worry about none of this. We won't ever have to worry about technology again.
Amen.
It can be a blessing and be a curse.
Yeah,
amen. Tonight, we're going to read two places of Scripture tonight. Exodus 13, and then we'll go to Ephesians 6. I want to say I appreciate the meal Sunday. Thank you to everybody. And pizza was good. The desserts were good. But I want to especially thank everybody, I don't know who was in charge, Sister June, whoever, for the salad. I want to thank the Lord for the salad. They say, ask and you shall receive. And so thank the Lord.
Amen.
60 pounds down, praise the Lord,
yeah.
Praise the Lord, 60 pounds down. And... So I thank the Lord for that, able to drop some weight. And Nanny stopped me at the dessert table. I come by, and she was admonishing me about the desserts. I was like, it's okay, it's okay. I got the smallest little cupcake. I got just one little small cupcake. That's all I needed. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
The rest of y'all could enjoy all the rest of it. But, nothing tastes as good as getting on the scale and seeing the numbers go down. That's the best taste right there. But thank the Lord for His help. 22 hours in the ER will change your life.
Yeah.
Sitting up there and them trying to figure out what's wrong with you. And I thought I was having a heart attack or something. I didn't know. I was having cardiac arrhythmia and everything. I didn't know what was going on. But you know, I knew I was in God's hands. And I didn't know diabetes. I know when your A1C is up and cause cardiac arrhythmia, but I do now. And so thank the Lord we got doctors and medicine, but thank the Lord to get off of it. The great physician takes care of us. And I was so glad that I was able to get rid of that. So praise the Lord, every battle. And I know there's other ones that are battling it. I think Brother Isaac and different ones fighting that thing. You know what? I feel like Brother Branham, when, you know, he saw Sharon Rose with that meningitis and those crossed eyes, and, you know, he never backed down from that. Every time he saw a child had crossed eyes, you know, he went back to seeing Sharon Rose in that condition. And, you know, they said never a child come across the platform with crossed eyes. They didn't come across well.
Amen.
God delivered every one of them. And, you know, he had to go through that for some reason. And it brings us to the place that we need to be. And I thank God for. I don't like battles. I don't like scars. But you look back over them and you thank God for them.
Amen.
Everything you've been through. You don't thank God too much when you're going through them. But you look back over all your life and you see things. And you thank God for what you've been brought through. What you've been delivered from. And when brother, I want to give a little short testimony. And I don't want to keep you standing for too long. But I just want to give a quick testimony. When brother Andrew Glover was here, and brother Wade and I, we prayed over a prayer cloth for a young man that I work with, and he's going through his second round of rehab. He's had a rough life. There's a lot of things that's went on, but he's trying to get right with God. He's trying to get straight in his life. He's got two little girls. He's trying to live a better life for them. And he was in this rehab facility, and it's a 12-month program that he was going through, and he went through about 4 months of it. And, you know, he's already been through one rehab. This is his second time. This has been a number of years ago, and now he's in this other one. And at the end of last year, there was a lot of stuff that went on, and he was telling me about some of it, and I was just like, I don't understand it. And he was very worried about it. He's very concerned about it. And I told him, all we can do is pray about it and put it in God's hands. So we got a prayer cloth, and I gave it to him. And he had to go, because he got kicked out of this second program, he had to go see probation and all that. And the judge could have revoked his rehab and all of that and sent him to jail. And I was like, well, we don't know, but you know, we're going to pray over it and trust God. And we don't know why things happen, but they happen for a reason. And so he was very concerned, but he was really appreciative of the prayer cloth. And I said, so we keep praying for him. Well, he went, they gave him 2 weeks, a week and a half passed, and he got into a new rehab. He's in a rehab that he was in the first time. So now he's already completed 12 months in this other one. And I was like, when one door closes, God will open another one. But you don't see why it's that way. And I said, but God wants you to trust him. We had a meeting in this other rehab that he's went to. He's already been there 12. He's already completed. Several years ago, he completed 12 months. We got in this one, and he had a meeting, and they told him, because you done so well the first time, you went through this 12-month program, and he gets, like, credits, I guess, because he went through this first one. They say he can complete his second rehab in 6 months.
Amen.
And I told him, I said, you thought, because before he got kicked out of the second one, they wanted him to do four more months, so he would have been 16 months in that. And then they kicked him out. Well, then I said, see, if you'd had original 12 months, if you complete the next 6 months with the four that you've already done, that's only 10 months. So you'll be done, instead of having to wait till next year, I said, by the end of summer, you can be finished on this one. So, you know, it's like, that's God working. And y'all continue to pray for him. You know, he's the one that came to me, and I was like, if I had $5, do you believe I'd give you $5? And he said, yes. I said, well, you don't know if I got $5. But you trust me enough that if I had it, I'd give it to you. Because you take me at my word. I said, the creator of heaven and earth came down and took on the form of flesh and died in your stead to take away your sins.
Amen.
And it's a free gift. All you got to do is believe.
Amen.
And I said, that is the same God that's standing right here in the between you and I talking right now.
Amen.
Because you say, well, I've done too much. No, listen, there, as long as you're drawing breath and you believe what the Bible says, there is nothing going to stop you to receive the forgiveness of God. He will cleanse you.
Amen.
He will forgive you.
Amen.
You got to have faith in what God said.
Right. Amen.
And see, the devil wants you to stop believing what he said.
Amen.
He's going to put everything in your way to stop you.
Amen.
But I believe it just as much as the ground I'm standing on.
Amen.
And you know, it's so simple. We got to, because it's like you can't worry about what went on in the past.
Nope.
You got to realize this inexhaustible fountain will take away all of that. And if you believe, he said he put it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. Amen. So y'all just continue to remember him, and he's still got his daily struggles just like we all do. But yeah, I'm starting to really see a change in him. He's trying to read the Bible, and he said, there's a lot of things I don't understand. So I give him the children's version sometimes. So we talk about people in the Bible, and I just break it down, and I tell him like a children's story. And I just give him people's names, and he's like, oh, I never read that before. And I was like, well, sometimes it's easier if you just go find a kid's book that tells the story and gives you everybody's name and tells you the highlights, and you catch some of those things before, while you're trying to read in the Bible. I said, I don't know if they ever made cliff notes for the Bible, but if they did, you could get the synopsis of some of this to help you with some of the stories. But, I mean, it's real. But you just keep praying and keep pressing on, and the Lord will bring you through. Amen. Well, let's just speak to the author before we read Exodus chapter 13. I appreciate your patience with me this evening, but let's just all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you this night, Lord, to gather in, Lord, that we're able to put away the things of the world for the short period of time. Lord, just come look unto you for all that we have need of, Lord, and we thank you for your many blessings on us, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you just come tonight, help us get out of the way, Lord, be in one mind of one accord. Lord, just speak to our hearts and our lives, Lord Jesus, from your word. Bless each one that's here, Lord, each hand that's been raised, every desire on each heart, those that couldn't be with us tonight, Lord, wherever they are. Lord, there's many sick and afflicted. We just pray that you just continue to hold them up. And, Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you're with us always. And you just show us that you're there and you care about us, even in the small things. And Lord, we just thank you for all things. We just commit this service into your hand in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Exodus 13, and we're going to begin at verse 18. And it says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Amen. And we go to Ephesians chapter 6, and beginning at verse 10. I think I might have said 11, but if that's all right, we'll just read 11. Yeah. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to take this little thought tonight on a mighty army of God. And here, and if in Exodus, we go back, Exodus chapter 13 here, and it's speaking of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And the scripture says, one thing I've always, when I read this, something always kind of stands out to me. Where it says they came out harnessed. They came up harnessed out of the wilderness. And, you know, if you go back and look at the word harnessed, it actually means to be equipped for battle. They actually had on their armor. They were actually armored to go into battle when they came out of Egypt. Now, other translations, if you look at other translations, it'll actually say they came out in battle formation. Because they were ready to battle when they came out of Egypt to march out. But if we go back and look at verse 17 of chapter 13, it says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." Now, we see here that when God is bringing them out, and you see that the children of Israel, all the things that, you know, they had been through and all the things that they had seen, and God had done all the miracles, and, you know, they were in bondage all these years, and they saw the things that took place. And, you know, when you see these things that they're coming out with, and the scripture says that they brought the bones of Joseph out of Egypt with them. Now, here they are seeing the bones of the man that God used in a time of famine to bring and preserve life. When he stood there and told his brethren, he said, "Y'all sold me and treated me bad and all this for evil, but God done this to preserve life." And here they are, and all the things that God had done for them and all the things that had taken place in Egypt, all this had happened, and here they are to see all the things that they had been through. And, you know, all they could see is all these 400 years of bondage and all of the taskmasters and all the death and all the destruction and all those type things. But here God came and told them in a time when he sent Moses to them, and he told them, he said, "I'm going to bring you out. Now's the time to come out. I made this promise. I made the promise to your father Abraham that you will come out. You'll sojourn in a strange land, but you're coming out. Because there's a promised land that you're coming into, and I'm going to fulfill my word." And here they are sitting in the land to see those things, and here they are going out, and after they've already seen the water turn to blood, they'd already seen all of the fleas, the lice, the frogs, all those different things that they had seen, all the destruction that had taken place, all the brimstone, all those things, all the destruction that they had seen, lived through the darkness, the death of the firstborn, all the things that they had seen, all the things that God had brought them through, telling them ahead of time what was going to take place. And they come out through that. And here they are. God set them up there, told them, "Hey, listen, you're going to come out. You got to be prepared. You got to eat the lamb, eat the unleavened bread, get prepared, because you know what? You're going out." And here they are. God brought them out, and they were ready for battle. God had set them in order, because now's the time, because when you go into this land of promise, you're going to have to fight. But you know what? He had showed them all these great things that was going to take place. Here they are. They're going to have all these testimonies in front of them. But God knew, after they had all seen all of that. Now, we can't take the short way. We got to go take the long way around. Because if they see war, if the Philistines look like they're going to raise up, you know what? They're not going to be in. They're going to be disheartened because of what's going to take place, and not be encouraged by all the things that they had seen. All the things that God had done to them and brought them through up to this point. They're not going to see that as an encouragement. They're not going to see the power of God in their lives. They're not going to see what God can do for them. Here they are. They're going to go through all of this. And, you know, here they are standing there, and you're going out through this. And here's the pillar of cloud leading them. During the day, a pillar of fire at night. And it's like, you know what? There's nobody else in the world that had that. Nobody was under that. Nobody else had the covenant that they did. But you know what? They did not have the faith to believe. When as a song, with all these many miracles, why don't you think it's possible? After all the many things that you have seen. I'm sorry, what something about, you know, why don't you believe? When all the things he's done for us. I mean, after all these things that you've seen, don't you think it's possible? Don't you believe that God can do these things? And here they are. They're set in order, but the problem is they don't have faith that God's going to lead them through. And here we are, as here in the book of Ephesians, here's the Apostle Paul writing to us and telling us to put on this whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Just like they were armored and prepared and in battle formation coming out. And so he's telling us the same thing, to put on this whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the attack of the enemy. Here you are prepared for battle. But will you be like the children of Israel when they've seen all these things and not be prepared and not stand up and not realize what God has done for you? Or will you just stand there and it's like, well, we can't go this way? Because here they are, and the reading of the scripture here, when it talks about in Ephesians, it says to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. To be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in verse 14 it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now if you go back and look up, to put on or to have on means to have something laid upon you, to have something that is covering you, that is laid upon you. It also means, like Brother Wade has said, the last couple of services I believe, is in Luke 24 it says, when Jesus is speaking to the disciples, he says, behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So he was saying the word endued is also to put on, or to be, have on is the same word to be endued, which not just means in the physical we say it's to put on something, but in the spiritual it's actually to have something inside of you. So you actually have this inside of you. It is an indwelling of the Spirit. So you are, because of the birth, of the placing of you in the body of Christ, you have this armor. And so you have put on. So put these things on and realize, listen, I've got the helmet of salvation. I've got this breastplate. And I've got the sword of the Spirit. I've got a shield of faith. So when I have these things in rhythm, I don't have to back up. I'm prepared for battle. Now see, when the children of Israel, when Moses was bringing the children out, you know, he had them going on the land because they were on their way to the promised land. They were on this journey leading them to the place that they had just heard about. Here they are going to a place that they had just heard about, but you know what? It was real. And it's like, well, you know, it's like some, you know, in the sweet by and by we'll get there. But you know what, I believe in Moses' mind, I believe Moses saw the land by faith. When he began to walk, I don't believe it was just some idea, but I believe he actually really believed and began to walk in that. But there was people, you know, people that just had it as an idea. It wasn't something that actually was something that was actually concrete to them. It was not something firm to them. He's like, well, we're just holding, you know. But you know what, you have to actually see that. See that as, and so Brother Bram says, see, he's leading us today in the spiritual, just like he was leading them in the natural. He said, in the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, here he is leading us, the same one, the same pillar of fire, leading us on the supernatural light of God, moving on, leading the church spiritually. So the same thing, the same situation that they were in back there, we are in the same situation today. And he's leading us, and he's made this promise to us that we are going to the land. Amen. There is a land that's been promised to us. Amen. And you know, we have entered into, if you're an overcomer, then you have come through the Egypt. You've come into the land of the wilderness and overcoming. But you know, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have come into that promised land. You have come into the land of the overcomer. You are an overcomer. But you know what? You've got to fight in that land. You've got to claim everything that belongs to you. There is a place for you to reach, and it belongs to you. And the only thing that's stopping you is you. It's the only thing that's stopping me is me. See, the same pillar of fire, Brother Bram said, the same angel of God, the Logos that went out, led the children of Israel through the wilderness. He said, it's the same one that came apart in the day of, on the day of Pentecost, that split up and went into the believers.
Right.
That same, that had the 120 had the same one. But instead of him leading over us and leading in front of them, the Holy Spirit was actually inside them to lead them. Here they are being led by that same Spirit. See, if we have that same Spirit that was that came down on the day of Pentecost, the same one that led, that showed them all those miracles, showed the children of Israel all those miracles. And the same thing in the early church and the days of the apostles, the miracles that were done was done by the Holy Spirit. Leading them through to do those things. He said it should put us today. He said we ought to be one heart, one mind, and one accord.
Amen.
Because you know what? If the same Spirit that was back there, it should have the same experience.
Amen.
It should have the same effect today that it did back then.
Amen.
That we should have the same thing. See, as Brother Brown said, we live below our privileges.
Yes. Amen.
See, we understand that we're all one body. We're all one army. We're all equipped to fight together. It's our battle. You know, there's no man on an island. And if you think you're going to be like Rambo, I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. It's all of us have to work together because we're a body. We're a unit. You know, Brother Rambo talked, I believe it's Restoration of the Bride Tree. There, Brother Brown was talking about those men, and he said they were going through this training, and he said he was listening to the radio, and they were talking about those men climbing under barbed wire, live machine gun fire going over their heads. He said they're standing there with their pockets full of sand and all of that kind of training that they were going through. He said because there's rigid training that they've got to go through. He said, we are here tonight. This is rigid training for us. He said, because the battle's out there, but we all have to go through this training.
Amen.
Because God wants to bring us through. Because, you know, now is the time that we get to the place where you find out what you're made of.
Right.
What you've got and what you don't have. See, Brother Bram says here in the message, Thirsting for Life, he said, see, but in principle, he said, we ought to stand one great mighty army of God marching on, and that's where I got my title from, one mighty, great mighty army of God marching on, because each one of you in your peculiarity, God has proved that he's ignoring your doctrine because he gave you the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said he gave them the Holy Ghost that obeyed him. He said, now if I obeyed him in my peculiar way and you obeyed him in your peculiar way, he give us both the Holy Ghost. We ought to be Christian brethren and sister enough to arm up together and march on for one great purpose,
Amen.
The gospel.
Amen.
So, you know, I mean, everybody is their own person.
Yep.
But, you know, there's a time you've got to get past and, you know, everybody's going to be different. Everybody's going to have their peculiarities. But you know what? All of us have to be one.
Amen.
In Christ. You know, when you go into the military, and you know, some of the, like Brother Don and different ones, you know, when you go in, and the first thing they want you to do is they want to separate your individuality. Because you know what? It's not about you anymore. It's about the whole group. It's all about everybody together. You know, because Brother Branham said, living the Christian life is living for others. It's not about living for ourselves. Because you know what? Everything that we say and do ought to be pleasing to the Lord, but it ought to be edifying to the body of Christ. And we ought to hold our tongues and watch the things that we say to make sure that it's not offensive to anybody. And so, you know, those things, because, you know, I don't want, because like Brother Branham said, you know, one little misdeed, one little thing that happens, you know, we can cause a problem in the church. We can cause somebody not to get their healing and those different things. As, you know, we've heard Brother Branham say, you know, all those things, you know, we can cause an issue to come up just by not watching what we say. You know, there's many times people say things and they don't mean anything by what they're saying, but the problem is, When you go to speak, sometimes the problem is before they speak, they ought to pray and say, Lord, you know, help me keep my mouth, because the problem is that sometimes they're not paying attention to what they're saying. Not they're trying to be offensive, not or anything like that, but sometimes their brain's not engaged when their mouth is. And I'm guilty of the same thing. But I mean, you know, sometimes, but you know, you say things, and as soon as it comes out of your mouth, you realize, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. But see, here we are fighting this greatest battle. And you know, the devil's going to try to hinder you in every little way, every little problem that you see. All these things are going to come up, and it's going to have an effect on you. You know, it's just like when Brother Branham was speaking about the squirrels. You know, he was telling them about how he killed the squirrels, and you know, he knew that they were going to be here, and then the Lord spoke to him, and he said, you know, I want one here and there. And he'd come to the one he couldn't find. And he was out there trying to find that one squirrel. And Brother Donovan was praying. He said, Lord, if Brother Branham told the truth, let him find that squirrel. And Brother Branham's like, they don't believe me. Do they not believe me? He's standing there, and he almost gets a complex because of what was said. But Brother Donovan didn't realize what he said in the prayer, because he was hoping Brother Branham would find the squirrel. And then he went back later, and he said, well, I didn't remember saying that. But it was something that was said to see how Brother Branham would react to it. And so, you know, when things are said, but, you know, you have to realize, you know, sometimes you just got to have love covers a multitude of sins. And sometimes you just got to overlook those things. And not realize, you know, hey, your brother says things, and you just got to overlook them and pray for them. And not take offense to it sometimes, although it can be tough. But see, we're in this great battle. Brother Bram says, and the greatest battle ever fought. He said, the greatest battle ever fought. He said, she's going on right in here now. Yes, sir, between life and death, between sickness and health, between faith and doubt. He said, oh my, between liberty and bondage, the battle is on. Shine your spear, soldiers. Polish up the armor. God is getting his soldiers ready. Amen. God anoints his army. Amen. See, we got to get into the battle, in this army. And Brother says, he said, so in an army first, in getting ready for a battle, first there's got to be some soldiers. They've got to be dressed for fighting. They've got to be trained for fighting. And he said, I believe that the greatest battle that was ever fought is now ready to go into action. I believe that God has been selecting his soldiers. I believe he's been dressing them, training them. And said, now the battlefront is now set. So now is the battle. And you know, here's the battle. And we realize that, you know, some of us have been in the way for a while. And some of us may not have been in it that long. But you know, it's the same battle. And you all got to join in, and you all got to take your place and start in that battle. And you know, many times when people say, you know, well, what is this battle about? You know, and understanding that, you know, it's not as much, I always said, it's not like Matt Dillon stepping out into the street and facing the man down, or, you know, Gary Cooper in High Noon, you know, going out to face him by all alone. You know, but it's the simple things. You know, the Bible says the foxes spoil the vine. It's the simple things in life that you see that's the battle. You know, many times in battle, and you look back, especially, I always think about Vietnam and, you know, the men that fought there, and you go through. Well, there was a lot of things that were hidden. You know, in guerrilla warfare, there's a lot of things that were hidden. They didn't see what was going on. Lots of times they were surrounded by enemy. They didn't see them. They had all these traps set up. Nobody saw them. And so they always had to be on guard, because here's all these things. And that's the way the devil is. He's sneaky. It's not where, you know, like the Revolutionary War was, where you come across the battle, or the Civil War, where you see all of your enemy right out in front of you, and they just line up, and you know, you just start shooting and you start running toward the enemy. Lots of times it's guerrilla warfare. You don't see what's coming. And so when you see this, it's very sneaky. But you always have to be on guard. So Brother Bram says here in the message, he's talking about in his life story, you know, he was talking about, you know, he never got to fight in the army, but he said he found the army to get into. Amen. And he said, but dear Christian friends, he said, I'd rather be in the army of the Lord than any place that I know of. That's right. Because I know that someday we're going to a land where there are ceaseless ages. We'll live there forever. And he said, but if I'm not man enough to be out in the army to fight with the armed forces, then God give me a job here to fight the powers of the enemy. And he said, I am a soldier after all, one in the ranks with you, dressed with your type uniform and your brother in the service. And so, you know, when you don't have these things, but he said, I'd rather be in this one. He said, because he didn't get to pick, to be in that, but that army, but God put him in the army that he wanted him to be in. And he prepared him. And he said, see, we're speaking of these armored men going into battle. He's got to prepare himself. He said, no nation would prepare to send a man on the battlefield untrained. He might not only get himself killed, but another group. He doesn't know how to take hold, so he must be prepared for it. And he said, and the nations are wise to that. They got to get their men ready for battle. And so, you know, that's what God wants us to do, is to get ready for this battle and realizing that this battle is for us. And, you know, you look at one of the first places that I think of when you think of this, you know, not this well-trained army. And, you know, like we see, you know, like these special forces kind of, these men, you know, all this kind of great technology and all these great weapons and everything. But, you know, it's these men that have this great desire to fight. You know, it's not just the great men, these great heroes, but every man that has taken up the oath to fight, then they're a hero. Every man that has taken the oath to defend what he believes in. In the natural, when a man takes the oath, a woman takes that oath to stand there and defend the Constitution and protect this country, then you know what? They're heroes. Amen. Because they go, and wherever they're at, and nobody may never know their name, nobody may know what they've done, but you know what? Everything that they do, because every part is essential.
Amen.
Every part, everything that they do is essential.
Amen.
And that's the reason I give my respect to our armed forces, because they fight. Whatever they do, and they say, well, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. But you know what? You answered the call, and whatever it is, if you just had to scrub toilets, or if you peeled potatoes or whatever else, you know, if you never flew a military plane and never grade any stars on your collar, it doesn't matter. Because it's about being answering the call. And it's the same way with us. It's not any big I's or little U's, but it's being faithful to the call that God has called us to. Whatever portion God calls you to, that is your job. He's not going to ask you if you've done this or if you've done that. Did you preach the gospel? Did you do this? Were you a musician? Were all these things. He's going to ask you in the end, were you faithful? The answer will be, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is what we're looking for, is a child of God. Are you going to be faithful to the call that God gave you? And you know, the one person I think of in the scripture that answered that in that situation, where you look at somebody that wasn't well trained, we don't see anything in the scripture of this person ever having military training, not having anything. But you know what? God called him to do a job, and that was Abraham. And God called him, and he had a journey, and God told him that his hand was upon him. And you know what? When he left his father's house, and he said, separate from all your kindred and go into a place that I lead you. I'm going to take you to a place. And he said, and you, the earth is going to be blessed. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. And here he is. He's leading Abraham out. But you know what? He came along, and he brought Lot with him. And like I always said, when you leave out, the problem is people bring a lot of stuff when they come with God. They bring a lot of things that they shouldn't bring with them. They keep, because God's trying to separate you from unbelief and all of the baggage and a lot of things, but we still want to hold on to a lot of things that we shouldn't hold on to, because he's trying to free you from that. But Abraham went left with Lot, and well, he got to a place that God had to separate and get rid of him, because, you know, and here he was. He allowed Lot to choose which way he wanted to go, and he said, I'm going to go the other way. And he allowed him to go, and he chose, because he was a man, and you know, just by his own eyesight, not seeing the danger, not seeing the sin and all the other problems that lay ahead, he didn't see any of that. All he saw was the well-watered plains and how wonderful it looked. And you know, he went that way, but you know, when he got in trouble, here's Abraham We don't see him ever being a great soldier, not being a strategist, any of those things. We don't see him. But you know what? God had called him, and he left there with 318 men to go get Lot. And he took on five armies. He took on five armies, and he won. And Brother Branham types that with Christ, and he also types that with us. He types that spirit is the type of Christ and the spirit of Christ in us to go after our brother. If your brother falls, well, you know what? That was his choice. He look at the mess he's in. Well, you know what? You ain't got to go over and throw dirt on him. Because he said, if you don't have the love of God in your heart to go after your brother, he said, you need to be in the altar. If we don't have that, if we don't have that desire to go after them, amen. No matter, and you say, well, you know, look at the great odds that Abraham had. You know what? Abraham was not looking at the odds. Amen. He was looking at the promise. Amen. He was looking at what God had promised him. And here he is going, and when he fought this great battle that had impossible odds, he brought back the spoil. And he brought back Lot. He got what he went for. And in the process, when he came back, he met Melchizedek in the way and had communion. And Brother Ram's talking about this in the last day, when we get done with this great battle, we're in this great battle right now, then you know what? We're going to meet the King and we have communion. We're going to have this overcoming, rejoicing time. See, we have to have that same spirit of Christ. Go after our brother. Amen. See, fight up. And he said, you know, you got to, no matter where he's going or how bad it gets, you know, you don't give up on him. Amen. Brother Bramble was talking about, you know, he pursued them all the way to Dan. You know, they just kept going and going and going. He's like, we're going to win this battle no matter how far we got to go. Amen. We're not giving up. He's like, well, you know what? I've got wayward loved ones. Well, we're not giving up. Amen. We got wayward children, but we're not giving up. Amen. We've got you got sicknesses in your family and problems and financial problems and whatever, but we're not giving up. Amen. We're going to pursue this thing. Amen. We're going to pursue it all the way to the end. Amen. It's like, well, I've been in this battle for 20 years. Well, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm not giving up. Why? Because you never know when the battle's going to be, that the last battle is going to be. You know, sometimes people get right to the end and not realize now's the time to victory, to have the final victory to overcome this and then give up. When you get so close and then you say, well, I've reached the end. I just don't. No, you don't see the end. But I see Jesus. He's leading me to continue to fight all the way. Because you say, I'm going because this is what God promised me. Where do I have to go? All the way. Where it looks good, bad, or indifferent, I'm still fighting. I'm not giving up. I'm still pursuing. See, we got to keep fighting and hold on. And you see, when you in this battle, everybody's in their battles that you're fighting. Just like he was there and he had those 318 men with him that was fighting. But you know, Abraham never gave up. He kept fighting. He had that one thing that he was going to do, and he was going to overcome. Amen. And the scripture in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, we're all in a battle. And Brother Branham said, to provoke means to encourage. Encourage one another unto love and to good works. He said, if you see a brother in the church that's got something against another brother, don't say something to stir that thing up, but say something that'll bring them together. Amen. See, when you see the battle going on, then the thing is you've got to get into the place where you can get into battle and be an encouragement. You've got to find the place, and lots of times, like, well, I don't know what to do. Well, the one thing you got to do is pray. Amen. You need to pray. Like when I was preaching at Brother Luke's, And I told him, I said, lots of times the problem with churches is when things come up and people ask, you know, why is this going on and why is that going on? And like, well, why don't the pastor do this and the pastor do that? Lots of times you don't know what the pastor knows. And you don't know what he knows and you don't know what God's told him. And lots of times, like I said, it's above your pay grade. God ain't talking to you. He's talking to the pastor. But the problem is, instead of people questioning what was going on, ask them, how many times have you got down on your knees and you prayed about the situation before you start questioning it? That's your job. We've got word from the prophet to tell us to pray for the pastor. Well, if you want the church to grow, how many times have you prayed for the pastor? How many times have you prayed for the fivefold ministry? And then people wonder why things don't happen. Well, you know what? God didn't ask you to, because if he wants to give you the answer, he'll give you the answer. But you know what? Lots of times we're not in the position to get the answer. The pastor gets the answer. And you know what? I've got all the confidence in the world that God speaks to Brother Wade and he's going to do whatever God tells him to do. And you know what? He's my pastor. And you know what? I give him respects and honor. And you know what? And then I'm going to say, I'm right behind you. Until the Lord tells me something different, then you know what? I'm going to be right there and I'm going to say, that's because you know what? If God don't tell me nothing, then you know what? My job is to trust that man because I believe I'm following him as he's following Christ. But I believe I got the Holy Spirit. If he gets off, then you know what? He can speak to me to tell me about it. But see, if we get in our place, then you know what? It progresses. The body of Christ advances. But the problem is if we get out, if we get to on shaky ground, then you know what? Nothing happens. See, that's how you become an encouragement to somebody. Say, listen, I appreciate you. I'm encouraging you. I want you to keep going. See, don't give up. See, he said, if you don't feel like bringing them together, it's time that you got in the altar. That's right. There's something happened in your life. There is something you've been deceived in. You haven't got the experience that God wants you to have. So you've got to come to this place and realize this is the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is going to bring us in unity. That's because you know what? We're going to separate from unbelief, and we're all going to come together. The Spirit of God brings us together as one. Because you can't say, "Well, I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need you." I no. Every person is important. Amen. If you're a son or a daughter of God, everybody's important. Everybody has a part to play. And lots of times, it's like, "Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Read your Bible and pray. Amen. Be a light. You know, one of the greatest testimonies a person can have is a person that's not blown around with all winds of doctrine and have ups and downs and have all kinds of problems. But you know what? Somebody that can battle the storms, can weather the storms. And you know, they don't have to be a preacher. They don't have to be an evangelist. They don't have to be a song leader. They don't have to be a deacon. But you know, there's somebody that can come and you see people and their ups and their downs. And you know what? They still press on. Amen. And it's like wonder. I mean, that's the one thing I love about my grandmother. You know, Grandma Gray. You know, you look back at all the things, losing her husband when she was little, trying to, you know, she was like early 40s, losing her husband, trying to raise kids, all those things, you know, all the battles that she went through. But you know what? She wasn't blown around. When churches split and people come up with crazy doctrines and everything like that, you know what? She just kept going. Why? Because she was anchored into something that, you know what, all the things that she had to go through. Now, I know she had problems and things, but you know what? You see somebody that's on the rock, they're not moved around. They're not blown about. Amen. You know, they're not up one down, you know, up one day, down the next. You know, they're solid as a rock. Right. And that's the kind of testimony that I want. Amen. Right. Have that kind. And it's like, you know, you don't have to be where people know your name. Nobody knows. You've never been around the world. But you're the people that God puts in your path. Amen. Those are the people that you've got to be the light to. Amen. That you've got to be an encouragement to. And say, that's a life of Christ right there. He said, see, live the life and let Christ live in you that makes people hunger and thirst to be like you. He said, you become salty. You become salty, he'll get thirsty. And the only way that you can be salty is let the life of Christ be in you, for he is that. He said, salt only saves as it contacts. So we have to be in contact with these and see what God wants us to do and realize this is what God has called us to do.
Amen.
When you see people go through so many storms and problems in their life, and you know what? They still just keep on going.
Amen.
And that's a real testimony.
Amen.
You know, so I'm not going to keep you long tonight, but I just got a couple of more things I want to look at tonight. And this is the other thing that when you look at an army and you look at this great battle that we're in, and we're all having to fight together. Brother Branham, this is from Christ the Mystery, and I want to read this. I love this, and I know we've all read it many times, and some of us can probably quote it, but I still want to read it tonight. I just love it because Brother Branham says, love one another. He says, above everything, love one another. He said, don't, no matter what the devil tries to say. He said, now you're all one great big sweet group now, but remember my warning, see? Satan won't let that stay that way. He said, no, sir, he'll shoot everything if he has to bring somebody in to make his target. He'll bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff and he'll start through the church with it. He said, but don't take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with it. With anything else. He said, you stay right loving and sweet and be kind to one another. Pray for that man and he'll be saved, or that woman, whoever it is, and just pray for them and stick one with another. And he says, and pray with your pastor. See, he's the shepherd, and you give him respects, and he'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so.
Amen.
He said, the enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And that one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you.
Right.
That's right. And he says, don't ever clan among yourselves or talk or make yourself clannish. We are one. He said, I couldn't say, left hand, I'm mad at you. I'm going to take you away because you're not my right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay right there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another.
Amen.
Right with one another.
Amen.
And he said, you've got tapes on that. We've got tapes on what we believe. He said, we've got tapes on discipline in the church and how to behave. And he said, we got to come here together. How we come, we got to come here together and sit in heavenly places. He said, don't stay home. He said, if God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. He said, if you don't feel that way, I tell you, it's time you got to pray. He said, because we're in the last days. And he said, we got to assemble ourselves together, have Christian love. Just skipping some of this, trying not to read all of it. He says, if a brother you think is a little wrong, or a sister, say, Lord, don't let me never have a root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him. It'll take the Christ right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. Hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't do that. He said, just wax that much closer together. He said, draw up, take the buckle, as the brother testified, a minister here the other night, about having a buckle. See, seeing it in a vision, just the buckles on the whole armor of God. The buckles on the whole armor of God. Said, just pull her on, tighten up, move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice about one another, say nice things about one another. He said, then God will bless you. That's what God wants to do. I love that sometimes. Sometimes I read that and I can hardly keep from crying sometimes. Because if you don't see that, I want people to see that. I want that to be exude from my life, that people can see that. I talk to people at work, and sometimes and people say, you know, I just love talking to you because you're always positive. I know people come up to you and talk to you and say, I love you because you know what? You're an encouragement. Well, you know what? There's so much negative in the world. And then you can be a positive influence on somebody. You can be the encouragement. You can provoke them to good works. That's what God wants us to do. You know, Brother Brown was talking about, you know, A.A. Allen and, you know, and the things that A.A. Allen, you know, the things that he believed in different things and, you know, and people tried to put him down. He's like, well, you know, A.A. Allen may not be right, but he said, I want to support him. I want to help him. He's trying to win souls to Christ. He said, I want to be right beside him. He said, at the judgment bar, he said, I want to stand there next to him. And it's so, and my place would be beside him, showing he's trying to win souls for Christ. And that's where I want to be. Because there's nothing to be gained by trying to tear him down. I mean, he might have talked to Brother Allen when he was off by himself and told Brother Allen, I don't agree with what you believe. But you know what? He wasn't trying to get in the pulpit to run him down. And trying to hinder what he could do for the cause of Christ. You know, it's just like, you know, there's so many that, you know, where they like, well, I don't agree with you on this and I don't agree with you on that. It's like, well, you know, Brother Bram said, you can draw me out, I'll just draw my circle bigger. I got a big old circle. I can just keep drawing as much as I want to. Like people say sometimes, I want you to know I love you and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Why? Because that's my choice. He said, you know, if they smack you on one, Jesus said, if they smack you on one side, just let them smack the other side. If they want your coat, give them your cloak too. You know, it's just like in the seals. You know, when the Red Horse Rider went out with the sword to take peace from the earth, and you know, and it was so amazing that the combat beast was the ox, and you know, that's a sacrificial animal. And you know one thing it said? He came to take peace from the earth. But you know what? He couldn't take their lives. You know, it was what always amazed me. Hey, they tried to take something from them, but they gladly walked into that because they were anointed to do that. Because that was their testimony. Because they knew, I've got a moment of time that I'm going to have to suffer. But you know what? I'm getting ready to enter into the glories of the Lord. And here they are, it's like, well, I've got to suffer for a little bit. But you know what? They could see beyond this veil of that they were going to have to go through. And the next thing you know, they're walking into something that's marvelous that other people couldn't see. Amen. And so you can't take away something because if you're giving it, they can't take it away from you. See, that's the way it is. It's because God is so freely giving, and that should be us also. See, just take these things and see what God has given us. Here God is calling us to do these things. And you know, we see our lives sometimes, and I want to finish here in a minute, but you know, I think about that sister there, and I believe it was in Mississippi, you know, that she goes and sees the lady holding the baby, and you know, Brother Bram tells the story that, you know, the Lord tells this woman, said, you need to go pray for that baby. And she sees the lady's got a prayer card, and Brother Branham's going to pray for that baby. But, you know, God told her to pray for that baby. And you know, she couldn't get away. She wanted to try to work some deal or whatever. But, you know, the Lord never let her leave that burden stayed with her. He's like, you got to go pray for that baby. He said, that's what you got to do. And, you know, she was so burdened, she finally went and asked that sister, said, you know, can I pray for your baby? Said, the Lord's just not going to let me rest until I do. And said, sure, sister, you pray. Amen. And she prayed over that baby. And then, you know, she's like, well, she saw that lady get in. You know, she went and sat in the balcony. Here she is. She sees Brother Branham come to the platform, get ready for service. The lady gets in the prayer line and says, oh, wonderful. This Brother Branham's going to pray for the child. Not realizing that when Brother Branham comes under the anointing and he begins to discern that, it's like, oh, sister, your baby's already healed. Amen. And the sister that's sitting up there in the balcony earlier prayed for your baby, and that's when God healed. Amen. She's been healed all this time. Because she obeyed the Spirit of God. Because she obeyed what God told her to do. And many times, you know, some of the worst times that I've ever had in my life is not, and it's sometimes it's simple things. But it's like, follow the leading of the Lord. He said, whatever you do, Brother Bram said, whatever you do, if the Lord leads you to do something, then that's what you have to do. He said, the compassion of that mother for that baby went far beyond what I had done for it. I've had done for it. See? So the gift of healing, if God ever speaks to your heart to go pray for somebody, you do what God tells you to. See, always follow the Holy Spirit. And I've told this story before, but I still, Brother Harold Hildebrandt came years ago and preached. He preached the whole week in Ruth, North Carolina. And I think Brother Dan was alive back then. He came and preached that Sunday morning and preached two services that Sunday. And his voice was shot. He was so, and when he got done, he come sat on the front row beside me right there. And the Holy Spirit was all over me that morning. I sat right there and the Lord kept telling me to lay my hands on him. And I never did. And I was like, well, it's like, well, this is Brother Hildebrandt. And, you know, it's like, you know, you don't want to get out of your place or anything like that. But, you know, the second service, Brother Hildebrandt came out and his voice was even worse. And I just could have fell on the floor. And it was like, you know what? Because I look at myself so low, it's like, why would you tell me to do that? Why didn't you get Brother Dale? Why didn't you get Brother Wade? Why didn't you get somebody else to do that? Because he wanted to know if I'd do that. Just like this sister would go pray for that baby. God told her to do it. It wasn't Brother Branham's job. It was her job to do it. He come up here and I was like, you know what? I felt so bad that I didn't do what God wanted me to do. But you know, I made a promise that day. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. And people ask me, why do you do certain things? You know, because he said, check it by the word. If it's not wrong, then do it. Because you know what? You may be the one that God wants to use to bless somebody. And so, well, no. We want to try to make ourselves so humble. But you know what? Not following God's word doesn't make you humble. I looked at myself so little, but the problem was, if I was humble enough, then I should have followed what God wanted me to do. That's humility. To do what God wants you to do. It's no big I's or little U's. But it's all of us working together. See, if you will believe what God tells us to do, then you will just do it and trust God. See, and I want to finish on, I love this. This is probably one of my favorite quotes. There's many quotes in the message I love, but I always love this one. This is from Oneness. He says, now you that have got strength enough to yield a sword. If you believe the word of God, then you take the sword of the word. He said, and now you've that got understanding enough in God's word to claim it to be your own personal property. Who can pick up the word of God now in your hand and hold it in the hand of faith and say, I take my side with the Lord. I'll be oneness with God from this home. I'll yield this sword of the Spirit in this word and I'll cut the devil to every promise that God promised me. He said, if you believe that with all your heart, I ask you then sincerely with all your heart. Now listen to this. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand to your feet and accept it. So if you believe what I just read, that the prophet read, if you believe that, I want you to stand to your feet and accept it. He said, do you believe it? Are you sincere? Is the word of God in your hand? Is your hand your faith? He said, raise your physical hand to God and say, God, by this, by my uplifted hand, I pledge all my life, I pledge my soul, I pledge my thinking, I pledge everything to the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit take my faith now and give me the thing. He said, cut every doubt away from me. And by faith, I receive the promise that I asked for this moment. And you know what? Not only just pray, don't pray over your own self, but pray for every believer in this building, for your brothers and sisters, your family members next to you, the ones that are not here, raise your hand and believe for them too. He said, if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
He says, congregation says amen. Say amen. If you believe with all your heart in the name of Jesus Christ, I promise you what you've asked for. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's all bow our heads. The musicians can come. Let's just all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me, Lord Jesus, that we can raise our hand. We've heard the words, Lord, that you give us these promises that we can claim. Lord, we've received this word and we can take it and fight and run the devil off of every promise that belongs to us. Lord Jesus, I raise my hand. I claim it. Lord, I give you my thinking. I pledge my life. I pledge everything, Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings, Lord. Lord, help me in all things in my life, Lord Jesus, that I can be a better soldier to fight. Lord, that I can draw up closer to my brothers and sisters in this great fight. Lord, we just pull that buckle up closer in this armor of God that we have been endued with, Lord Jesus, that we can fight this battle. Lord, we see the time is short, Lord Jesus. We see the condition the world is in. Lord, we see our lost loved ones. Lord, we see so many, Lord Jesus. Lord, we see so many that are sick and afflicted tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, we see this flu that's going all around the country. Lord, there's so many that's battling, those that have been in the hospital in different situations, Lord Jesus. Lord, but I believe tonight, Lord Jesus, that we can raise our hands and claim our healing, Lord. We can claim their healing also, Lord, that we bind our faith with them, Lord Jesus, that with you all things are possible. That believe, Lord, we believe what you've given us tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, as the scripture says, Lord, as the prophet said, see, when we realize who we are and what we've been called to do, then we will be an invincible army. Lord, we are an invincible army in you, Lord Jesus. You've never lost a battle. And you've called us to this great battle to fight. Lord, we may lose a battle now and then, but we're not going to lose the war. Lord, because the victory is already won. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray for the ones that are listening in tonight, Lord Jesus. Whatever their situation is tonight, Lord Jesus, I believe that you'll go and touch them, raise them up. Minister to them. Lord, we thank you for this, our body of believers, Lord, here, our brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we're able to gather together. Lord, there is no big I's and little U's, but we're all in one. They're one in Christ, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for our pastor, Lord. I thank you for our ministering brothers here tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we labor together, Lord, it's all for one purpose, Lord. Lord, to further your kingdom. Lord, if there's anything in our lives, Lord, that needs to be cleaned out, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us open every door of our heart, Lord Jesus, that you may walk in and clean everything. Let's not hold anything back. Father, I want to be right in your eyes, Lord. I want to be perfect in your eyes, Lord. And Lord, if there's something that needs to be done, Lord Jesus, I pray that you come and help us. Lord, you open our eyes, speak to us of whatever needs to be taken care of. Lord, I thank you for our brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that you touch each one, Lord Jesus. Minister in a special way to each one. Lord, we commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song, brother.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more.
Let's sing out, reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Anyway, just for this weekend coming up, remember Sunday we will have a sewing class. If you still haven't signed up, there's a thing back there in the back right as you go out the door. Also, we're going to have a cooking class, and what we're going to do is we're going to cook breakfast. We're going to have grits, bacon, sausage, and we're going to cook it. The men are going to cook it. Danny's just—he's just ripping to make them biscuits. Yeah, that's what I thought. So anyway, but we're gonna have biscuits and gravy. So if you'd like to stay, you can bring you a little something to eat. But we're gonna make some breakfast. The men are gonna make breakfast. So just get prepared to help. We're gonna scramble some eggs, maybe even fry some eggs. We may even make an omelet. So, and the men are gonna do it. So we're gonna show the ladies we can do it, Brother John. And clean the mess up. Yeah. And clean the mess up. All right. So just remember that this weekend coming up. And also remember the Valentine's banquet coming up. This Sunday is the last Sunday to register to go. I think everybody pretty much here's signed up to go. And we sure do appreciate that. And then we've got a big group from Ohio. We're taking care of them. And then Brother Burley's bringing 3 or 4 couples with him. And several, Brother Richard Douglas is going to be here with us, and Brother Daniel Perry, they're coming. So we're going to have a good time in the Lord, and it'll be down at the same place we had before. In advance, thank you all for your help. We sure appreciate each and every one. Like Brother Aaron said, one person couldn't do all this. It takes an organism. It takes a group of people to do that. So we sure appreciate you sisters and all last Sunday helping out and all. We had a good time. Came back up here and learned some really good songs and got some of our chords and keys together. So we sure appreciate each one that stayed. We thank you so much for that. And we want to remember the sick ones. Remember Sister Anna, Zach's wife, that she's having some issues with a UTI, or they think that's, we're not going to say that's what it is. That's not what it is. We prayed for her, and she's going to be fine. But we'll let the doctors tell her she's fine. All right, let's let the doctors do that and tell her she's fine. So we will be here service Sunday, Lord willing, and we'll see you then. So just let's bow our heads. Tell Brother Aaron how much you really enjoyed the service. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening you've given us. Father, we've heard from you tonight, Lord. And we pray that you'd be with each one, Lord, that's here. Give each one of us our portion for tonight, Lord. And tomorrow, Lord, may we use that to sustain ourselves, Lord, out in that cruel world that we're going to step out in, Lord. Be with each one, Lord, that's sick, that needs you, Father, that are sin sick. I pray that you'd bring them in the fold, Lord. We pray that you'd bless the ones, Lord, that are on the highways tonight going home. Give them a safe trip. We come back together, Lord, as one in you this coming Sunday, Father. Just bless us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.